Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. Father, thank you for all the blessings that you give us. Thank you for loving us, calling us to be your children, for giving us your word, giving us people to teach it and to learn it and to, as a group, spend time worshiping you through our fellowship and through our music and through our study. We trust that all brings you glory. As we continue looking at the engagement project this morning, we pray that we would understand better the role that you have for us in this world. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you give us. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we are going to look at part two of tour three. Bleep. And then we'll be looking at the question and answer period. It's been a couple of weeks. I went back and got a little bit of what we viewed in the second or in the first half of tour three so that we can recap a little bit. But any questions or comments before we get going? Okay, here we go. Tour three, part two.
And he has a sacrificial zeal to do this. So it's one of our great Christmas passages.
Turn it up just as soon as my tablet connects again.
You know, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Shalom. Of the greatness of his government and shalom, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on. He will accomplish this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Even when it appeared as if the promises were all lost. I can imagine in this battle, there were moments when Satan said, I've won. Jerusalem has been destroyed. The children of Israel all sacked and headed off. Now they're carted off to foreign lands. And it appears as if he's won. But in one of my, it has to be one of my most favorite passages in the Old Testament is this passage right here. Because in the midst when everything looked like it was over, there was nothing but a stump left, that God comes and he says, the holy seed is in the stump. Can you believe that? This is the steadfast God who says, oh, you may see, yes, that's right. Judgment has come here, and all you see is an old stump, but let me tell you something. The holy seed is in the stump. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his root shall bear fruit. We talked about in Tour Zero that we find ourselves living in difficult times. But you and I are a remnant of hope. Why? Because the Spirit of God is in the stump. The Spirit of God is in the remnant, and they're still there. The world may laugh and say, oh, it's over. Oh, no. So we're going to add this hesed love to our definition, and we will now define it as the steadfast sacrificial zeal that seeks the true good, the shalom of another. Why would Satan want to dedicate so much time and trouble to destroy one little word? Because that word represents the crown jewel in the nature of God. This is one of my favorite hymns. Comes from an old Jewish poem, "The Love of God." It's this third verse that is so beautiful to me. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond
ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God. Would you please stand with me and we will read these great words from Romans. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah and amen. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? Did anything happen to strike you?
Everything.
I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, Doug. But it overwhelms me. It overwhelms me. Because I know who I am. And he knows a whole lot better than I do who I am. And yet he continues to be faithful. Oh my, oh my. Do you like that song? Isn't that an amazing verse? It's just an amazing
I've
verse.
Never heard it.
You've never heard that before?
No, it's amazing.
Well, if you get an old hymnal, look for an old hymn entitled The Love of God and you'll find it. It's an old one.
I hadn't thought about this until just now. I didn't think of it during the thing, but talking about the periods where it looks like it's over. And there's sometimes there are terribly or seemingly long, long periods where it looks like God's just gone. And then it comes to life again, and then it happens again. Yeah. And I was just thinking back through periods in my life where I felt it's over, but it was not over because he showed up again.
Mm-hmm.
He let me struggle and then he showed up again, and you're taking a step up the ladder and you pause and you take a step, and I suspect that's going to go on till I'm gone. But each time you learn, he's still there.
I find sometimes, Doug, though, I end up taking a step back. I sometimes feel like I take two steps forward and sometimes one back. That's okay because he's still there even when I do that.
Because it doesn't depend on us. There's not any created thing that can stop it. And he's not created.
That's one of the most amazing passages, is it not? And you know how that chapter begins? You'll know it when I read it.
For there is therefore no condemnation.
I'll start. There is therefore
no condemnation.
No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because of this. Because of this. Right here. I don't understand it either.
I understand it more than I used to, and I'm happy with that. But I don't understand it.
Yeah. Oh, we try. Move a little closer. I don't know about you, every time I get closer to God, I realize that I'm farther away. You know what I mean by that? I mean, because he is so awesome.
No, don't.
Sir?
I experienced that steadfast love in a part of my life when I didn't want to have any more children. Mm. I was caught up in my script. I wanted to go to school, to graduate school. And I told my wife, no more children. And there was, I guess, a lot of angst with my wife and the fact that she wanted more children. And I've come to realize that the fruit of the womb is very important, and it's a means by which we can glorify God. The Lord, in his providence, in his kindness and his love, gave us a son. Not that I lamented him, I loved him, and I was glad I didn't go to graduate school. But I've come to realize that I had the opportunity to bless and glorify God through having children. And I was so caught up in my own narrative that I denied myself that opportunity to bless and glorify God. But yet he was kind, and in spite of myself, he gave me a son, and I'm eternally grateful to him for that.
He does that because he loves you.
And I can't understand that love.
I know, I can't either. But you've given us Catherine. I mean, what a gracious gift we've been given as a result of that. Anything else?
Another verse came to life. The verse that says that this is how the world will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And every time I read this verse, I just pause and think, Lord, am I showing the world that I am your disciple?
Again, when we get to the last tour, I want to talk about that. We'll talk about that verse. We'll talk about what it is that the Lord has asked us to do, and to remind ourselves that his commands are not burdensome. We will have a tendency to make his commands burdensome, and they're not. In fact, they're delightful. And for us to become involved in a small group of believers who are committed to one another is one of the most delightful things I've been involved in. And yet it has become one of the most encouraging things in my life. And I think that is one of those things. Now, there's a heavy part of that verse, because if you think about it, Jesus says the world will know that I sent you. That's what he said in John 17, right? If you have, you know, your love for one another, that's a pretty powerful statement. So we need to get back to that. Again, I don't mean to demean, you know, a lot of the activities we do and so forth, but I think we've got to reevaluate. You know, what are we doing? Is it a lot of busy stuff? Is it a lot of program stuff? Maybe that's good and so forth. Reevaluate. Really able then to show them
this true God to those around, close-knit group. And I guarantee you, if we start loving people, small number of people, because you cannot do this with a bunch of people. We'll talk about that in our next tour. You cannot do this with a whole lot of people. You can't. You can't even love one another in the brother or sister. You can't do that with a whole church full of people. You can't. It has to be, why? Because of this. People in this world will be drawn to that. And we don't do it because of that. That's, you know, it's not, we're doing that for some kind of an agenda here. We're doing it, why? Because God loved us. As Paul said, right, we love because he first loved us. That's where it comes from.
You know, before we came over here, you were talking about your calling to apologetics. We got some really, really smart people here.
Nancy's a very brilliant person. Yeah, she's sitting next to a brilliant person.
We got some other really smart people here, too.
Molly's a brilliant person. You are, too, Doug.
Well, whatever. But anyway, The thing, after you used the word calling, I started thinking about that because there was a time when I was involved in the Alabama textbook case, which I'll tell you about some other time, that I thought I wanted to be important in all the wrong ways. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, you know, well, what is my calling? And it comes out of my own experience with God, which the Truth Project put a framework on for the first time, really, that there actually are answers, that there's a way to make sense out of the chaos. And I didn't try to do this, but there's just a small group of people that I interact with, and I don't know any people that I would say that are committed Christians that aren't going through some really hard times. And the hard time is, where does God fit in this? And that's kind of evolved into what I do, is to help people remember, you can't look with your natural eyes. There's nothing you can do that's gonna make God stop pursuing you. It's not possible. And he just, you know, he comes, or seemingly feels like he comes and goes, but he never comes and goes. He's always, always, always pursuing us. And, you know, if maybe it's because I'm trying to convince myself that God really is there all the time. I've never been alone once in my life, ever, even though it felt that way. It never was true. But how revolutionary that is to realize you've never, ever taken one breath that God wasn't there. Never. That's revolutionary. And you know, that's what I hear from you. You have revealed God's heart through all of this, not just this study, but through the Truth Project too. It was a different part of it. But that's what I try to help people see. This is not about numbers and intellectual stuff. This is about this person that we want to share with each other and fellowship around. But this is the core. I got a long way to go. But God's going to get me there. I won't get me there. But he will continue to teach and teach in love and fellowship and all the things he does in spite of me.
Yeah, Del, I think I want to thank you for teaching us. even though you'll humbly say you don't fully understand, and none of us do, but thank you. The world has redefined this word, love. And yet when you talk about what love is and the love of God, it's like a burden is lifted. Like, that's who I want to know. And that's what I want to look like. And so it's like I want to stop settling for like the world's definitions, because they're counterfeit and they don't do the depth of who God is, the beauty of who he is and how he's called us to love. It just doesn't do it justice at all. And I can't believe we've settled for counterfeits all these years. So thank you for giving us a glimpse of something better.
I enjoy driving the bus and seeing people hang out of the windows going ooh and aah, and looking at the jewels in the cave, which is the nature of God. That, what more could any of us want than to help people see him? But we're doing that. We're walking there too, right? It's come. Let's go see him. You know, that's what we're trying to do.
I think about this agape love, and I am just reminded of the true meaning of that for me personally. In particularly the zeal that makes up the meaning of agape, the zeal of God that would send his only son, but also that Jesus would come into our world willingly to save us. And I think back at a time in my life when I was living for me, and Jesus, in his zeal, came to get me behind enemy lines. And that just gives me a whole new understanding of what God's zealous love for me is.
And you know, Joel, I absolutely agree with that. There's nothing that astounds me more that, because I know I was an enemy of his. And who would think that you would go across enemy lines to grab an enemy to seek their true good? That's unheard of. But I will go even further. Yes, he came to save you, but then he came back again to live within you for the same zealous purpose. His zeal is burning just as strong as it was to pull you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. His zeal is burning just as strong to take you along the next path. Mm. That's who he is. That's what he wants. That's what he's after. And we get to enjoy that. So,
I've come to know agape love through my own testimony and my adoption story of being from Haiti and being in the poorest country, and God orchestrated at the right time to come down to me, because I couldn't get to a safe place. And my parents had to get me out of Haiti. And it's just the parallel story of that, when you're left with nothing and God comes into your life and intervenes.
That's an awesome story, because there was nothing you could do to change your situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had nothing. So,
my daughter and her husband have now adopted two special needs children from China, and it has overwhelmed me, because there is a picture there. These were two children that by all rights should have been thrown into a trash can in China. And God has now reached in and pulled them into a loving home. And just like you, you know? Look at Molly now. You know, and what God is doing through you.
Yeah.
And your work.
And much is required.
Yeah, it's been, I know your parents, mm-hmm. you know? And they did for you in this physical world, and my daughter and her husband have done, you know, for Grace and Josiah in this physical world, what God did for us. We were without hope, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? We are without hope, without God in the world. And God reached down and said, I'm going to adopt you into my family. Wow. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Molly. That's cool.
Questions, comments? No? None? Come on. Okay, here goes the preview for 204. We're going to be done early today. You guys are not cooperative.
Well, we just finished the tour on redemption.
Tryptophan coma?
And sometimes that can really kick us in the gut. It happened here in our small group, and it may have happened in yours, and that's okay. You know, we said from the very beginning that when we draw close to God, when we gaze upon His face, it can radically change us. And we're praying that that does happen. So having finished now the epic of redemption, we're going to turn and look at the next one that we have called engagement. We've gazed upon the face of God and the crown jewel in the nature of God, and now we're going to look at the King's order. What has God asked us to do, and why are we still here? I've told you before, and I'll say it again, I'm convinced that if God's people would begin to simply what God has asked us to do, it would not only change us and radically transform our families, but I'm convinced with God's grace, it will change the world around us. See you then.
Okay, final opportunity for questions or comments. Going once, going twice. Father, thank you for adopting us, calling us to be your children, as we just heard, going behind enemy lines to get us. Thank you for the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf, willing to step into the box that he created so that you would have the legal right to forgive us. Thank you for that. Remind us to be busy about being in the world and talking to folks and gathering folks to you. Thank you for these folks that are here today. Thank you for the time that we can spend together worshiping you through our fellowship, through our music, and through our further study of your word. We love you in Jesus' name. Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.